You're from Devine Wright. Devine started at Harvard and now she's at the University of Washington.
Thank you. Today I'll be talking about the potential impact of childcare-based obesity prevention. I'd like to thank my co-authors from Harvard, Deakin University, and Columbia. And also we have no conflicts of interest to disclose and like to thank our funders. So childcare-based policies can really influence obesogenic behaviors. Story and colleagues wrote in 2006 that childcare facilities offer untapped opportunities for developing and evaluating effective obesity prevention strategies to reach both children and their parents, and here's why. 69% of children in the U.S. attend a licensed childcare facility, either a childcare center or a family-based childcare home. Children utilize these facilities for 25 to 35 hours per week. And full-day programs can provide up to two-thirds of children's food intake per day. Best practices for healthy nutrition and physical activity exist. We looked into the literature and identified the following practices, which represent our intervention. First of all, experts recommend that physical activity should be 90 to 120 minutes per day, that with respect to nutrition, no sugar-sweetened beverages should be served, juice should be limited to 6 ounces per day, and children above the age of 2 should be drinking reduced fat, not whole milk. And lastly, we found that experts recommend that screen time should be limited to 30 minutes per week. Screen time includes television time as well as any laptop time or electronic use. Unfortunately, many facilities do not adhere to these recommendations. Currently, children in centers consume sugar-sweetened beverages on the order of 0.4 ounces per day. They don't drink enough reduced fat milk. Only 49% of milk served is reduced fat. The remainder is whole fat milk. Children don't get enough physical activity. And children get too much screen time. Not every center or family-based childcare home uses screen time. Among those that do, kids can get up to 1.7 hours per day of screen time. And the reason we see these centers not adhering to best practices might be because few states actually regulate best practices. Again, we looked in the literature and we searched for legislation about childcare center policies. We found that some states, like Washington State, Florida, or New York, did not have any legislation or regulations that adhere to our best practices. Other states, like California, Michigan, or Ohio, had at least one policy that was related to one of our best practices but did not meet or exceed our best practices. And then you have some states like Texas that had two, I'm sorry, a state like New Mexico that would have adherence of 2.5, so maybe they met the full policy for nutrition and physical activity and had some sort of regulation that did not meet it or exceed that for screen time. We modeled our intervention, which is adherence to best practices. Again, like the others explained, we used the assessing cost-effectiveness model. We adapted that for the U.S. setting to model our intervention effects. We simulated the cost of the intervention and the theoretical impact of the intervention on BMI for 11.9 million 3- to 5-year-olds who were in childcare in the U.S. in the year 2005. And we predicted long-term changes in obesity-related comorbidities and the associated disability-adjusted life years, or DALYs, and medical expenditures over a lifetime horizon. All future costs and DALYs that were modeled were discounted at a rate of 3.5% annually in accordance with best practices. And here's our logic pathway. We have our policy, which is the change in childcare facility policies, and we hope that leads to a change in practices, an increase in moderate to vigorous physical activity, a decrease in sugar-sweetened beverage consumption, and a decrease in screen time viewing. We wanted to relate these changes in practices to health effects. And at this point, you realize that I'm standing on the shoulders of Kendrin and Michael and Jessica, because, like Jessica, we modeled the change in MVPA and the relationship with that in BMI using a study by Creamler et al. That related daily minutes of MVPA to changes in BMI. Like Michael, we used a study by De Reuter and colleagues to relate a change in sugar-sweetened beverage consumption to a change in BMI. And like Kendrin, we used a study by Robinson and colleagues to relate a change in TV viewing to a change in BMI. We then used the final model to relate the changes in BMI in our population of 3 to 5-year-olds to changes in disability-adjusted life years over the life course. We also know that our intervention would not be implemented in a perfect way. As I mentioned before, there's some baseline adherence to a policy, and so the states that were adherent to the policy already would not see the intervention benefits related to that policy. So Washington State, for instance, which has a baseline policy score of 0, would get all the intervention benefits from the screen time, physical activity, and nutrition interventions. On the other hand, Texas, which has a policy score of 1.5, would get half the intervention benefits from the nutrition policy, the full intervention benefits from the screen time policy, and no intervention benefits from the physical activity policy. We also recognize from a study of Knapsack that only 73% of licensed centers would actually implement our policy, and we accounted for that. We accounted for the fact that children would only get 94% of their scheduled physical activity time. And we accounted for the fact that of that physical activity time, only 25 to 40% would be moderate to vigorous physical activity. And lastly, we recognize that only 29% of childcare centers and 70% of family-based childcare homes utilize television, and we use that to discount our screen time effects. We found that our short-term intervention costs would be on the order of $6.4 million. That's composed of $3 million in licensing costs, which is the cost for licensing inspectors that would increase when they went to licensed childcare centers and review what they were doing. We would have $13.9 million in training costs. We decided that we would train every center director every other year for 90 to 120 minutes, and we would have a trainer who conducted that. We accounted for those costs. And we actually have a beverage cost savings of $10.5 million. That comes from a decrease in sugar-sweetened beverage consumption, but more so, it comes from changing from whole milk to reduced fat milk. There's a very, very small difference from reported estimates of the cost of whole milk and reduced fat milk, but kids drink so much milk in centers, and there are so many kids who go to centers, that it adds up to be approximately $10 million. The per-person cost of the intervention ended up being 54 cents per child. We estimated that our intervention would lead to a decrease in the hours of screen time viewed in 28 hours, a decrease in sugar-sweetened beverage consumption equivalent to a few fewer sodas per year per child, a decrease in servings of whole milk, 109 fewer servings of whole milk per year, and an increase in MBPA of 27 hours per year. Combined, this led to a decrease in BMI of 0.42 units per child, and the cost of the intervention per BMI unit reduced was $6.07. In the long term, we found that because these kids are so young, in order to see any intervention benefits, these effects have to be maintained for at least 35 years until they're 35 or 40 years old. In that case, we would get 61,000 life years saved, 79,000 disability-adjusted life years averted, $622 million in healthcare costs saved, and $98 in healthcare cost savings per dollar spent administering the policy. We recognize, however, that there's a lot of uncertainty in extrapolating these health effects over a very long period of time, and so we'd like to focus more on our short-term outcomes, which are much more attainable. In summary, we estimate that a multi-component childcare-based policy intervention can capitalize on existing infrastructure to improve obesogenic behaviors and marginally reduce short-term BMI over 1 year. At a cost of less than a dollar per child, the intervention is low cost relative to other school, community, and clinical-based childhood obesity interventions. We found that this policy might affect equity in one of two ways. On a positive note, it might bring low SES centers up to par. On a negative note, higher SES centers might be more likely to make the changes, which would increase disparities in this population. And lastly, we hope that these policy changes would spill over to the home environment, that if kids were using less screen time in centers, they would also be more inclined to use less screen time at home, also that these changes in milk consumption would also stick and spill over to the home environment. And that's it. Thank you.